Thank you, moderator, for the introduction. I appreciate everyone hitting the snooze button just once this morning so y'all could make it out for the first talk of the day. So what I'm going to go over is a project I've been working on with Drs. Tyson Raper and Mike Bushamol. And the overall objective of this project is how to help growers make a replant decision. So I think at this point in the conference, we're very aware of what cotton is. But I think for the sake of this presentation, that what I really want to focus on is that cotton's it is indeterminate in its growth habits. And it does a very good job of compensating for the lack of neighboring plants within a row. If we have plants that don't emerge once we get them in the ground. Typically, we try to look for greater than 3 seed per meter or 1 seed per row foot to optimize our yield. And this is really important that if we have these lower populations, that we at the very least have a uniform stand. If we have a lot of skips in the field or irregularities, could result in some issues with our yield. So when we go out to do our plant stand assessment today, we're usually using that 1-1000 method where we select areas in the field. Based on our row spacing, we count a linear distance of row and count the plants within that distance, multiply it by 1,000, it gives us our plants per our area. Typically, we're looking for healthy plants like the ones we see here, but oftentimes we see damaged or injured plants or just plants that don't emerge at all. And also, just based on our human bias and nature, we can influence our counts when we go out. If we're not feeling too good about our stands or what we've got coming up, we might find areas in the field that don't look as healthy, select these areas of the field. Or if we're ready to start getting onto the river, we're tired of running that tractor through and getting plants out there, we might find the places that look better so we kind of feel better about our stands. Regardless where we're selecting, though, we're still taking these counts in a few areas across the field. And as we kind of progress in the precision ag era and we look to manage our farms on a more site-specific manner, we really need to start to consider our populations across an entire farm versus these various points. So, for instance, say our scout comes out, he starts wandering across the field, he gets some counts in various areas, and these counts are very accurate in kind of estimating our population over these areas. He could potentially miss areas of the field, and it might be difficult for him to quantify how large these areas are or just simply not notice that they're there. And when we look at it on a whole farm basis, this could really look to influence our yield and just starting off from the beginning start to really hurt that overall dollar sign that we can make at the end of the year. So with some of these things in mind, again, we've developed this project. The objective I'm going to cover this morning is to investigate the ability of an unmanned aerial system to accurately and precisely determine varying plant populations and stand uniformity of cotton. So these studies have been conducted over the past 2 years. In 2016, we had just kind of a trial and error portion that we set up at Ames Plantation in western Tennessee. 2017, we expanded from the Ames location and also included the Milan and West Tennessee Research and Education Centers in western Tennessee. For these studies, we planted a Delta Pine 1522 variety, which is an early to mid-maturing variety. We selected 5 different seeding rates and had 3 different planting dates that we put these out there. These seeding rates included 10.5 seed per meter, 6¾, 3, 1.5, and 3¾ of a seed per meter. So we targeted a planting date to fall within the April 20th to May 10th planting window. I'll say for 2017, we had really wet spring, so a lot of these got in towards the end of that May 10th date. Once we got those planted, then 7 and 14 days after emergence, we came and dropped in and planted the same 5 seeding rates again. So last year at this meeting, I presented on one method that we tried in 2016 using a very inexpensive unmanned aerial system. We had an Iris Plus drone and just a Canon PowerShot sensor. We were able to use these red, green, and blue images, convert them to a hue, saturation, and brightness stack, and found some pretty good correlations between our plant population estimations as well as the ground truth number that we actually had in the field. So for 2017, we wanted to look to see if we could improve on that overall accuracy. So we equipped a custom multi-rotor with a MicroSense Red Edge camera. We set up our flights using Mission Planner. 7 days after emergence of that first target planting date, we went out and flew various altitudes, but what we'll be presenting on today is 35-meter altitude data. Again, with this Red Edge camera, we're able to look for the red, green, blue, near-infrared, and red edge bands. Once we got all these data images collected, we then stitched them using MicroSense Atlas stitching software. And then we wrote a program using a combination of ArcMap and Python when. And that's really kind of what I want to focus on today is some of the things that we did in this program to actually do these population estimations. Also, once after we flew the plots, we went out and ground truth the number of plants we had, so counted, hand counted each plant we had in all of our rows. And we subjected our number of plants that we estimated from our program to these ground truth numbers using a linear regression model in JUMP 13. So for the first thing we did in Python was we wanted first to calculate that normalized difference of vegetative indices. So we wrote some code allowing us to do that. The next thing, once we classified these or got our raster values for NDVI, we then wanted to convert them over to polygons just so that we would have a shapefile for each individual value that we saw in our overall image. The next thing we did was then, based on the values and the area we had of each of these values, we wanted to try to threshold them out to actual plants themselves. So oftentimes one of the issues, especially in higher populations, is when we had those plants that were either neighboring or actually overlapping. Based on this method, it would actually make them look like they were one plant. So we wanted to kind of threshold out for that. So ran some code to allow us to find the pixel size or the size of the smallest polygon area that we had. And then for this method, we've used, if we had that size times two, or that size times three, we consider that to be one plant. Anything larger than that, we then would divide by that size three, so then would give us a number of plants that we had in each area. Once doing all these different classifications, we then looked to spatially join our plots to plots themselves. So we drew some polygons for each of our plots and then joined those together. We then wrote a final code just doing a search cursor allowing us to look and see how many plants we had in each plot and then therefore doing our counts. So when we actually put these to a regression model, simple linear regression, we saw that we had a very high correlation to our ground truth number of plants. So on the y-axis is actually those ground truth numbers, and then on the x-axis is our aerial plant population estimation. One thing you'll note is our root mean standard error is around 35.5, and so where a lot of where that error was coming into play was at our higher populations. You start to see we start to reduce our accuracy there. The reason being for that is when we set these calibration thresholds, we're really targeting that one C per foot or 3 C per meter that we mentioned that we need to have to ensure that we optimize yield. The reason doing is basically if we went out and we flew and we found that we had that number of plants, we knew that we should be good on optimizing our yield. Anything above that, we knew that that's really what we're looking for, so it's not going to be as big of an issue if we lose accuracy there. So we wanted to set that calibration, again, at that 1 C per foot or 3 C per meter. That's such that anything less than that or at that value would be highly accurate. So just a summary of what we've covered today. The current assessment method did seem that it might be able to detect plants if they're actually in the field. So not only for counting, but other things that we're looking to do objectively, we may be able to do that using this method. We may be also able to accurately and precisely determine our plant populations using this method. And then again, determining and establishing a tolerance threshold for calibration is going to be very crucial, not only for counting, also if we want to see if we can increase our altitudes and look to get larger areas covered in the same time. Being able to set a calibration and fulfill that is going to be very important. So continuing this project, there's a few other things that we're going to look to do, again, to just improve the efficiency and the use of this tool. One thing, again, we mentioned the uniformity is very important. So we want to try to build an aerial platform that we can actually measure this uniformity and try to quantify that amount of uniform we have. By doing so, we hope to generate a uniformity coefficient such that we can fly over, determine how uniform our field is, and then apply that number to our yield potential or an estimation, again, just to overall try to help decide whether we want to accept that standard or reject it. And again, we also flew these at various altitudes. So we want to going forward, we want to see if we can find that optimum altitude to try to do our stand counts or see if there's an additional step that will help us determine where that optimum altitude is for our respective flight that day. So just a quick advertisement as well. I'll also be presenting at 1:30 on the ground portion of this study. We'll be talking more about making the replant decision, but more so I'm focusing on those different planting dates in collaboration with those different seeding rates that we had. We subjected all this data to a surface model so that we can kind of get an idea of our yield potential. We would plug in the day that we're actually at in the year, and then those plant numbers that we found from this method, and kind of give us an idea of what our yield potential is if we accepted that stand going forward. Again, we mentioned that we could use this method for objectiveness going forward and throughout the year. Once we know how many plants we have, we know what areas of the field we have lower populations and higher populations. This should give us a better way to potentially set up variable rate applications, such for like plant growth regulators and fertility management. If we have those lower pops, we don't want to treat them the same as our higher populations or target populations. So building these maps will enable us to make these decisions throughout the field in a more site-specific manner a lot easier. So with that, I'll quit talking. I thank you all for your time and attention, and I'll turn the mic over to you if you have any questions or comments for me. So with this project, I didn't use the red edge. Let's just talk about the Cameron itself. I was using 2.5 centimeter ground sampling distance at 35 meters with that camera. Yes, sir. And the question was, what was the resolution of the red edge camera? Yes, sir. So the question is, what is the overall goal with the maps when we turn them over to the growers? That's exactly what we're looking to do. So, again, with that next tool with building for uniformity, I think what we'll probably potentially have to do is lay a grid over the whole farm. We'll, based on each grid, we'll look at the number of plants we have and then also kind of see if we can either identify the skip links or just based on that grid size, say if we have less than this number of plants, then it's either this amount of uniform or not. So yeah, that's the overall objective. And then based on different parameters such as planter size, what a grower actually says, okay, if it's this size in the field that I have an issue, I'll actually go out there and plant. They should be able to have their own user-defined setting for those grids, so it's all determined based on them. So yeah, that would be the goal, is get that map into their hands, let them decide what their parameters are to actually ultimately make that replant decision or not. So this is 7 days after emergence, so roughly 30 square centimeters for two cotyledons. It's about the size of two quarters put side by side when we're doing these measurements. Obviously, we flew these in 2016. I did counts at 7 days and 14 days. As it gets bigger, I have a better ability to count with the red, green, and blue method. But once they get bigger, they start to overlap more. So with this reflectance stuff, it's a lot harder to kind of separate them out and say that these are multiple plants in a row. So it actually seems to be better if you're going to use some type of reflectance to do it earlier on versus red, green, and blue. With just what I've seen, that it might be a little better a couple weeks out afterwards. Yes, sir. So the question is, how long would it take to actually get the images for production field? So I haven't really done much of that work yet, so I don't have a great answer for you there. But I know, obviously, it's going to be better at higher altitudes. So that's going to be probably the most crucial portion of this project, is determining how high we can actually get and still do counts. And I guess that's where the whole uniformity aspect for this project came from. With cotton, it's not always about how many plants we have. And with a lot of broadleaf crops, soybean as well, it's not going to be just about how many plants we have, but also the uniformity. So if we need to go up to 400 feet and fly over and just look for skips or the lack of skips, that might be all we really can do going forward and all that's really important. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the question is about assuming.
The question
Yes, sir. I guess the question or comment being on assuming about planner capabilities, variable rate. So yes, sir, I think with managing it in the in season, it would be a lot more optimized for someone that does have variable rate. With the initial planning aspect, it might be just deciding whether to plant the whole field over or just accept it. I know if you read a lot of the guides now on making the replant decision, last comment's always going to be something along the lines of, if you have a difficult decision in making the replant, just go ahead and accept your stance. So this hopefully is some type of a method that'll help make it a little easier than, if I can't decide, I'm just going to keep it anyway. So yes, sir, I agree with what you're saying there. So it could be just for some, just a difference in, do I keep the stand altogether or go ahead and turn it under?